Operator, I would like to remind all parties the call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I would now like to begin with a roll call. Do I have Christina Nordstrom?
Excuse me, I can do the roll call. That's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's PEDNO call on the 17th of May, 2011. On the call, we have Barry Cobb, Cheryl Langdonor, Tatiana Kramtsova, Mike O'Connor, Mason Cole, James Bladel, Paul Diaz, Alan Greenberg, Avery Doria, Michaela Nalen, Ron Wickersham, and from staff we have Christina Nordstrom, Marika Koenigs, and Margie Millam. And apologies from Ted Suzuki, Siva Subramanian Mutasami, Jeffrey Eckhaus, Oliver Hope, and Karim Mohammed Altomani. And may I also please remind you to state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you very much.
All right. I think the agenda for today, I don't think we sent out a formal one, but I think where we are is to complete the run-through of the comments, go back if we have the right people on the call to talk about the length of period of time. I submitted a proposed replacement for recommendations 7 and 8, and I think then we have to, assuming we have any time left, we need to go through it and make a laundry list of what still needs to be done and try to figure out how we're going to get it done. Have I missed anything? Seeing a huge number of people point out I'm wrong, let's assume I'm right. Marika, do you have any idea where we left off last time? I think Marika must be on mute.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think we left off on item 53 on page 16. Although there are a couple of items throughout the document in which I provided some additional feedback from staff, but I don't know if you prefer to go back to that after.
Yeah, why don't you lead us through those first?
Let me then scroll back up. There was one item in relation to the implementation of RGP. And if people recall that there were a couple of comments that noted if we would be recommending RGP as a consensus policy, it might also make sense to ensure that it's implemented in the same way. And I think the question was, first of all, whether it is indeed implemented in the same way currently or whether there are any differences, and if so, how do it differ? So I spoke with some of our staff, and they indeed confirmed that apparently there are some differences in implementation. But they also pointed out that apparently as part of the new GTLD program, there is a specific provision there currently that talks about, let me just see, if registry operator implements registry grace period, it will comply with RFC 3915 and its successors, which basically I think provides some of the elements with regard to implementation.
Does that RFC include the RGP?
I quickly looked at that RFC, and I think it specifically deals with EPP. So I presume it details those elements that relate to RGP and EPP, but I'm hoping someone that's more technically versed might be able to confirm that. Well, one thing I did want to point out that I did understand as well that some registries have actually objected or indicated that they have issues with this provision in the new GTLD program. So if the working group is planning on moving down that path or following maybe the example of the new GTLD program, it might make sense to talk to the registries or get some further direct input from their side as to why they might have issues with that approach.
Gee, I thought that was what the comment period was for. Michele?
Yes, Alan. Just with respect to registries and the new GTLD stuff, I mean, we shouldn't forget that the guidebook for new TLDs is both a guidebook and still in draft form. So while there might be aspirations to put certain things in there, it's still not fixed in stone.
Yeah, that's correct, but that's why we have specified they're included in ours, because we don't have control over that. That's my recollection of why of one of the reasons that we were including it explicitly here is because in the last revision, in any case, it wasn't there, and I don't believe there was ever any stated intent to put it in.
and this is Enrique, just to confirm, because that provision, indeed, if we're talking about whether, you know, RGP is a consensus policy, this specifically says as well, you know, if registry operator implements registry grace period, it doesn't say that it has to. It just says when, if it does, it will comply with RFC 3915.
Yep.
So, indeed,
I would have to go back and look at that RFC, but I doubt if it includes things like the RGP period should be 30 days or, you know, other implementation issues regarding the RGP. So I'm not sure that that really addresses the issue. Up until now, the RGP has been something that each registry has done voluntarily, and therefore they could, in theory, although I don't know if they did, have specified different details. ICANN has never specified the details. Clearly, we would have to if it's a consensus policy. I think that was the issue, is are there really implementation issues that are different from registry to registry?
This is America. Isn't there, because they did, you know, go through the whole process, aren't there certain basic elements that the RGP that came out of that working group that looked at it, even though it didn't get adopted as a consensus policy at the time? I mean, it's a question. I recall seeing something.
I'm not sure it was a formal working group to start with, and my history doesn't go back that far, but any registry that proposed it as a registry service would have been free to make modifications should they choose. I don't know whether they did or not, but or why they would, but they certainly would have been free to. So I think the real question that we start off answering is, are there differences in implementation right now that we might have to, you know, address in terms of either grandfathering or allowing them to get in line, and what can we use as the model to specify what the details are for the future ones? Okay, I think that one's still a little bit outstanding. Regarding people who have objected to us including it for new GTLDs, I think they better get some specific comments in quickly. I'm not sure the registrar's stakeholder group is in a position to speak on their behalf, but if they are, then we'll gladly hear from anyone. Any other thoughts on that one before we ask Marika to charge off again?
Yeah, this is Marika. I'll check back as well on the documents that working group produced, and try to find out indeed where that left off.
Yeah. Chuck is probably the best one to try to pick his brain. I can certainly do that if you'd like me to. Other than that, I don't know what documents there were. There may have been.
I can check internally as well.
Okay.
I think there's some people that might have been around at that,
okay,
that time. They might. I know, for example, Dan Holleran, I think, might know as well what happened there. So I'll
okay.
check. I check on that side as well.
All right. I'll let you. If you want me to do anything, get hold of Chuck. Let me know. And to the extent that there may be differences between them, it would really be good to know that. I guess one of us can go read all the registry agreements, but that's. I was hoping to avoid having to do that. Okay, any other items you were going back to check on?
Yes, this is Marika again. I think there was as well item 37, where we have suggested a clarification of the recommendation. I think we discussed there it relates to the posting of the fee charged for post-expiration renewal of the domain name to make sure that this is a...
Yeah, the question was compliance's interpretation the way we interpreted, and that is that must be a dollar number or currency number specified as opposed to a variable, a formula, saying it will be derived based on some algorithm.
Yes, correct, and I think that's a clarification that was also made in an advisory in relation to the RGP fee, I think, where they made some kind of advisory saying as well that should be, it should state the amount, not some kind of, yes, we charge a fee or indeed a variable. So I think in implementation of that, I'm sure that, you know, that will be linked, so it's indeed clear from the language that
okay.
will be put up for implementation.
So the language we are using should be sufficiently clear to make sure that the policy satisfy our intent and not be looser than that.
There's one sentence there that we suggested adding just to be really clear about what is intended. So that's
okay.
in 37 in the red notes.
Any such fee charged for renewal must be a priori, I think, determined fixed amount. I think there should be an I on prior. I think, assuming my Latin's any good. Okay, any other items?
This is Margaret. That was another item where we asked feedback from the registry stakeholder group or clarification, but I haven't received any feedback yet, so that's still an outstanding item.
Okay, thank you. Ron?
Yes, this is Ron Wickersham. On the item 37, this only is it correct that this is only concerning renewal before deletion, and that the charges for recovery are we changing the terms to say recovery after deletion and only renewal if it hasn't been deleted? Do I have that correct?
I'm certainly recommending that we use the terms in that way, that recovery is only for the RGP process and renewal is the name we use prior to and after expiration, if it's still completely in the registrar's hands. But the fee we're talking here is the renewal fee. The recovery fee, the RGP recovery fee, there already is consensus policy that says it must be stated on in the on the agreement or registrar's website or whatever.
And this is Rick, if I can make an additional comment on that one, on item 36, because that was actually another question that was raised in relation to the RGP fee and in addition to the Pender fee that someone the INTA had commented there. And actually confirmed with staff that the only way a name can actually be redeemed during the RGP is by renewing it. So the RGP fee normally includes the renewal for 1 year.
Oh, okay, so it does. Oh, I guess we all believed because of the wording that it didn't. So, but it does include the renewal. Okay, that's good.
Right. I don't know. I don't know if some break it out in maybe in their pricing. But I think that the point is that to recover it, you need to renew it. So there's no way to just pay the recovery fee and then basically do nothing with it, because it requires a renewal at the same time.
Okay. Anything else before we go back to the list as we were going through it?
Bismarck, I think that was it, but I would encourage everyone to review the rest of the responses and notes just to make sure if there's anything I missed, just let me know.
Okay. Just give me a second here to catch up on something. Okay, what number were we at now?
63,
thank you. Sorry,
page 16.
Oh, okay, 53. Okay.
Sorry.
All right. The comment for 53 is our standard one, and 54 is clarify language by changing must include methods that do not require to must be by methods that include those that do not require. I'm not sure. I've just come up with the same answer as I wrote originally. Not sure this is a simplification. Anyone want to speak to this? Marika, it's a staff issue. But James had his hand up, so perhaps we'll let James go first.
Yeah, I just wanted to cast my vote. The original language was clearer than the clarification.
This is Marika. I think it was an issue where grammatically someone made the point that it didn't make sense the way it was written, and that's why the other alternative was suggested. So that's I'm happy either way.
Yeah, I think ours is clearer than what was proposed, but I'm certainly willing to do anything which would in fact make it really clear. But how about when we go over it on the final language, let's see if we can refine it, but not agonize over it right now. For the moment, we'll keep the original language. 55, the IPS's recommendation that unless the name is deleted by the registrar, at least one notification must be sent. The IPC agrees, suggests the recommendation be revised to state that for any post-expiration notice, any post-expiration notice must contain explicit information setting forth the proper procedure for the registered name holder to renew the domain. I certainly have no problem with that. I can't imagine there are many reminder letters go out and saying you have to renew, but we're not going to tell you how. But registrars, anyone have concern if we add this in? I can't imagine it's going to impact anyone. No one cares enough to put their hand up, so we'll assume that we will add the language into the recommendation. 56, James.
Well, I mean, I think we can agree.
I knew putting my sword in the ground like that would do it.
Well, I think we can agree with this in principle. I guess I would like to see what language is going into the recommendation. I want to make sure it doesn't include, like, let's say, you know, if you flip up and you didn't, you didn't update your links or your help files or something, you know, because that happens from time to time. That, you know, you lost your accreditation or something. I guess I want to see what the language is before we can say, yes, let's add it to the recommendation.
Better still, we could ask you to draft it.
Yeah. as long as we paint with very broad brushstrokes, like one notification which includes renewal instructions, done, you know, must be sent after expiration or something like that. It's just a parenthetical or a comma phrase that we can put in there. I'm just worried that if we start...
I don't think you need to keep on talking. I think you've just drafted it.
Okay, that's it then.
Presumably Marika captured that.
I did.
Good.
Okay.
That was easy. All right, 56 is a we support, and 57. Inter recommends that the final notification sent by a registrar prominently indicate final notice to make clear that it is registrant's final opportunity. You can read my comment. I don't disagree, but I think it would need to make sure that it's language independent and might be gilding the lily just a bit too much. Michele?
I'll actually disagree.
Oh, okay.
How do I word this? If you put something like final notice, you can actually end up scaring people in a way which has nothing to do with the actual registration, because it's the kind of language that you might use in a legal threat or something. We've had people complain to us because the standard page that was being displayed when an account was disabled due to it running out of bandwidth or something else, that they had run out of resources, and we had one client who accused us of making defamatory statements about their financial well-being.
What the hell? Okay.
I guess you shouldn't have done that. Sorry, that was a joke. James?
Yeah, I think I caught that, and I think I agree. We're talking about number 57 with final notice. Yeah, see, here's my concern with that. In other venues, we've been struggling and wrestling with this idea of the fake domain name renewal scam, and I'm just concerned that if we require something to say final notice in big flashing red fonts, that they're going to use that to facilitate some of the renewal scams that we're seeing. So, I don't know. I was going to suggest
that the renewal scams already use things like that.
let's just say that if we start sending our stuff out that looks similar to the renewal scams, then people are going to have an even harder time telling the difference. So I think, you know, with the language differences and the market differences, people should be free to use whatever they think is most effective for their customers in getting them to renew. And those are trade secrets, by the way.
How do others feel on this? We have all the registrars on the call, almost all the registrars on the call except Mason agreeing. Do we want to put any language, and Mikey agrees, do we want to put any language in you know, sort of equivalent to saying this is final notice, but or just leave it to the registrar's good sense. Michele.
I like the idea of us having the discretion to know how to word things in such a manner that we don't upset our clients.
Hmm. All right. We reject this suggestion and use words to essentially say that it would be a bit too, we believe it would be a bit too prescriptive.
It's in keeping what we've said in other places, so yes.
Okay. Done. 58.
Don't ignore Olivier.
Oops, I didn't see the hand. I never ignore Olivier. Olivier, yes, sir.
Don't ignore me, Alan. Thank you. actually, it's good that Michele pointed this out. I was going to say I agree with him. In the UK, certainly final notice often shows some kind of legal threat coming up. So, yeah, definitely leave it to the individual registrars to decide.
Sure, so it means my guest is going to be turned off, but...
It'd be turned off, but you won't get sued for it. I mean,
no.
Or maybe you would, I don't know. Thanks.
Only by my family. Any other items on 57? Olivier's hand is now down. No one else is up. 58. This is recommendation 13 that says... Okay, this says if a page is put up in place of the website that was there, that it must be appropriately labeled. Michele.
You know, kid, number 58, with respect to 58, their reply is out of scope.
Okay, I hadn't actually gotten to read what the issue was. IPC agrees with caution.
Don't worry, you actually agree with me.
Yeah, you're agreeing. Agree to agree. Next.
Okay, I'll believe you that I'm agreeing to agreeing. Okay, this was the one where they shouldn't be allowed to put advertising up. Okay,
yeah.
And we've discussed that interminably. Many of us feel strongly on it, but it's not within scope. 59, support of the recommendation and to suggest the registrar include a link to the on the change page to connect to a renewal site. I think this is what we sort of said. I think we said give instructions, and we had a parenthetical saying wording must make it clear that instructions may be as simple as providing a link. I don't think we need to be any more specific. I would take it out of the square parentheses and just leave it in the recommendation to as guidance to the people wording the final policy change. James.
Yeah. So you're saying going back to I guess it was 50 whatever where we just drafted that language on the fly. You're saying that covers this as well.
Of
57.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what your suggested wording was.
Yeah, it was just something like, you know, including instructions for renewal. And the thing is if we mandate you must include a link, well, number one, that assumes that it's going to be coming via email or some other electronic means when it could be paper. And
yeah,
number two,
the wording we have currently is give instructions.
Uh-huh.
But in response to, I think it was Jeff who said, but what if I just put a link up to the renewal site, will that be deemed to be instructions? And we added the parenthetical to say that would be okay. And the final policy must be worded clearly enough to ensure that, you know, it doesn't have to be a numbered list from 1 to 5 giving instructions. It could just be go to site XXX. So I'm happy with the I'm happy with the wording we have right now, excluding the square brackets. Cheryl?
Sorry, I was being vaguely amusing. I suggested that if you enter site XXX, other things may happen. but I think what we said is clear enough.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure I would want to see something prescribe a link.
It doesn't. The current wording says instructions,
okay,
and then says wording must be clear enough that instructions may be interpreted or may be as simple as a directing the RNH at E to a specific website. We can change
right.
that wording to make it clearer, but I think that's I think we used the term instructions originally and then said it doesn't have to be a 6-point laundry list of instructions. It could just be a pointer.
I guess I'm looking at number 59 and not the parenthetical up above, okay?
Okay.
So that's where
I understand. And I'm suggesting that what we have already without the square brackets I think addresses your issue and their issue.
Okay. I'm going to put my hand down. I want to make sure that we leave things open, flexible, to account for different methods of communication,
and also not give
a Fisher, which, by the way, is being, I don't know if it's a kudos to our size, but we have seen fake emails, enter your GoDaddy credentials here.
Of course.
I want to give the Fisher, a roadmap on how they can deal with it. That's it.
Okay. Well, James, take a look at the wording we have excluding the square bracket, including the words in the square bracket, but excluding the square brackets, and see if that meets your needs or not. I think it does, but I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, I think it's fine, as long as again, it's not overly prescriptive, because that's a blueprint for bad guys.
No, and I think that's one of the reasons that the PDP group is saying that people who are involved in the PDP should be among those who review the implementation to make sure it meets the intent, not only the words. I think we're all violently agreeing with each other.
All right.
Recommendation 14, best practice is the point of contact. That's the point of contact issue. 60 is support. 61 is, in addition, the ALAC recommends the secondary point of contact should be supplied by all registered domain holders during their registration process. It should be systematic and mandatory for all registrations. Well, I guess my comments is that all we discussed that at length, we suggested at one point that registrars could suggest it, but there are certainly enough cases and perhaps some business models where you're selling someone their single address that they may not even be advisable. So I'm certainly, we can't make it mandatory. We could go farther than we are perhaps right now, but I making it a best practice, I think, is probably about as far as we're likely to want to go without being far too prescriptive. This came from the ALAC, so maybe Olivier or Cheryl have a comment, but first, Ron.
Yes, this is Ron Wickersham. My comment on this is I don't understand the mechanism. I'm totally in support of having the ability to include an alternate address, but I don't believe that WHOIS accommodates it unless you fudge it. And is that allowed? I mean, for instance, can I go to my registered domain and put two addresses in, even though there's only a blank to fill in one? So it seems it either needs to be stronger, just making it a best practice without any mechanism means that you feel powerless to help out on that best practice.
I'll answer what I think our intent was when we wrote it and then go to Mason. I think we were thinking sort of if the administrative address is the domain in question, then maybe you should have a billing address or a technical contact or something that isn't. Not fixing it the way you just suggested, but by using one of the other address slots that is available. Mason?
Mason Cole here. Yeah, I guess the question for me from an operational point of view would be, what if my customer refuses to supply another address? I mean, if this is mandatory, am I then to refuse the business of a potential customer?
Well, I think that's why we didn't want to make it mandatory.
Okay, that's good. I mean, I'm good with it as a best practice, and in fact, it might be useful for, you know, for me as a registrar to have that additional data.
Yeah.
But in terms of making it mandatory, I don't think operationally that's possible.
Olivier?
Thank you, Alan. Yes, I don't think there was any question of making it mandatory. It's just a case of making an alternative address available, for especially for those cases when you do have some registrants using the actual domain name. So if the domain gets suspended, then how is it possible to get hold of them if they don't have an alternative address? Best practice, I'm sure, would be great.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, just explaining that to someone who's registering a domain name may not make it the easiest thing to do. Michele?
Anything further than a best practice would not be supported by me.
Okay.
I've already gone through this in detail in the past. Others have spoken to it as well. So I'm not going to go back into it again. Best practice, I'm more than happy to support it. Making it mandatory, forget it.
All right.
So we're all in rampant agreement with each other on what the working group response should be.
Yep, I think so. 62, notification should be sent to all other points of contact associated with the registrant if more than one alternative point of contact exists to the record. This is from INTA. My original answer was, given the complaints about spam, I think we have to leave it up to the registrar. One of the points of confusion is that it's not clear for any given registrar, up until now it's not clear, which of the three contacts they have may actually be used if they're different. Some registrars have said they use all of them. Some explicitly only use one of them. We are now in another recommendation requiring that they tell the client ahead of time which they're going to use. That doesn't necessarily mean they'll use a backup one, but at least means the client has some chance ahead of time of knowing. Michele?
Much as I hate doing this, I'll have to agree with you, Alan.
Oh, dear. I'll try not to have that happen again.
Will you two stop that? This is ruining our reputation here.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we're coming up to length of renewal time soon. We'll have an opportunity to disagree on that one.
Oh, don't worry. I'm sure we will. Let's decide, if INTA want to do this, then what we'll do is we'll set it up so that we'll give them all control of a registrar for a short period of time using their mail servers and see how long it takes before they're blacklisted to hell and can't send anything to what it is.
I'll let you offer that recommendation. All right. In the absence of any objection, we'll go on to number 63. This is on Charter Question 5, which is, should transfer be allowed during the RGP? 63 is, the registrant should be able to transfer to another registrar during the RGP. Main reason will be enable a registrant to move to a domain if not satisfied the service model or differences in price of renewal. The price of renewal was one of the issues, but I think it's a buyer beware issue. From my point of view, and since we've been cautioned that there are significant potential problems in allowing transfer at this point, and we are now going to be required that all registrars offer the renewal, which was the main reason for requesting a transfer before, in that the registrar of record did not offer RGP renewal or redemption. I tend to say this is one of the buyer beware issues. You should have thought of that ahead of time. And it's nothing that we feel we have to address the problems we're looking at within the PDP. James?
Yes, Alan, I'm going to go ahead and agree with you. I think that if we require RGP across the board, that levels that playing field. And then it becomes simply a matter of price and service, which we certainly don't We certainly get a little, you know, a little interested in when ICANN starts to wade into those areas. The only other thing is just if we could mention in the body of our report the two events or times or windows where a domain name is likely to be lost or stolen is during expiry or during transfer. And I just feel very strongly that combining those two, was going to create the unintended consequence of a lot more lost domain name. Thanks.
Well, I wouldn't point that out because transfer during expiration, although not the RGP, is allowed. So I'm not sure
that
we want to highlight that's a dangerous area since we're not suggesting that change.
No, I think that one's okay.
Okay.
I think that I'm not as nervous about that one as this one.
All right. Michele.
I agree with my learned colleague.
And he's agreeing with me, therefore you're agreeing with me again.
I never said you were the learned colleague, Alan.
Well, I know, but James was agreeing with me, so by inference you're agreeing with me. All right. Next. Marika, you're okay on that one now?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. 66. Given the rationale provided, the registry stakeholder group is of the opinion there should be a proactive recommendation that transfer during RGP is not permitted. I think that's a better way of doing it than what we proposed, and I would support this. Anyone else? Mason, please disagree with me.
I'm
getting hard.
Did you say 66? Because I'm lost now.
I'm saying 64.
Four. Okay, sorry. Take my hand out.
That's the registry group saying we should not be silent on the issue of transfer during RGP, but explicitly say do not allow. All right, we are supporting that. And the BC supports no action. Will the BC reps on this group complain if we actually say what they do with the registry stakeholder group says? If any of them...
This is Mikey. I think I get to be the guy. Poor Barry's on his cell phone. No, we're fine with this.
Okay. And Ron, you have your hand up?
Right. This is Ron Wilkerson. The concern I have is if the registrant initiated a transfer near expiration, are you specifically saying that attempt, which may be in a procedural delay, then expires and the registrant loses the right to transfer even though he initiated it before the expiration?
I'm going to let a registrar answer that because I don't have a clue how that works. I suspect it depends how close to the end you asked. Michele had his hand up, so I'll let you answer, unless you're talking about something else.
No, it was in relation to that. I mean, I understand the concern, but in general terms, okay, let's say for argument's sake, I have a domain name that is due to expire on the 15th of May. If I initiate a transfer for that domain before the 15th of May, and it isn't NACT immediately, in other words, rejected by the losing registrar and is basically in process, going to be transferred, the transfer will complete at the end of the five-day period. Transferring a domain that has expired to another registrar, while theoretically possible, is usually more complicated. But again, if the transfer had started... It wouldn't be possible for it to go into RGP if it's actually pending transfer, as it were. At least that's my own understanding. Somebody else might be able to correct me on that.
Well, certainly a registrar could, I'm not trying to attribute motive, but could receive a request to transfer, could registrar receive a request to transfer, which comes from the receiving registrar, not from the registrant?
No.
Yeah. Pardon me?
Technically, you could, but it's not a legitimate reason to reject the transfer under the IRTP.
No, but my question is, after a registrar has received the notification, I'm not sure what form it takes from the receiving registrar, could they then issue a delete before taking any other action? Does the registry get notified that a transfer request has been made?
Okay, you're making this more complicated than it is, Alan.
Well, but I think that was the scenario that was described. The transfer has been requested
and is then deleted. Alan, if you look at the IRTP, the Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy, there are specific grounds to deny a transfer. My interpretation of the IRTP, and please somebody else help me out here, would be that if a registrar were to receive a valid transfer request for a domain and were then to delete the domain, that they would be in breach of the policy.
They'd be deemed to have refused the transfer.
Well, no. If you delete the domain, you haven't refused the transfer. You've deleted the domain.
Yeah. No. But I said deemed to have.
Well, yeah. I mean.
Okay.
But that's my understanding. I mean.
All right. It's an edge case. I'm not sure we need to look at it. We could pursue it with compliance a little bit and see at what point would this be a violation and what point is it, purely. I mean, clearly, if the registrant makes a request of the receiving registrar and in parallel with that, within microseconds, the registrar of record deletes, that's perfectly valid.
Yes. If the registrar...
You know, they perhaps have no way of knowing that the transfer request... They may, in fact, have an indication, but we're not trying to look at it at that level of detail.
This is a rabbit hole.
Yeah. Okay. I notice Avery has some...
Alan, this is Barry. Just real quick. From a real-term perspective, I've got several experiences of trying to transfer a domain 1 to 2 days prior to expiration, and every instance, everyone transferred appropriately. So I don't think that this is an issue. I think... Once you initiate a transfer prior to expiration, and I don't know the technical back ends, but flags are raised in the back end that even if the domain expires, the transfer still goes through.
Okay. Now remember, well, deletions can happen anytime well before the end of the auto grace period, but in any case, I think it's an edge case that I'm not willing to put a lot of effort into. Ron?
Yes, this is Ron Wilkinson. Yeah, my concern is only the stronger language that the proactive recommendation that transfers not be permitted. So I'm hoping we don't word it so strongly that it creates a new problem.
Understood. I think we can carefully word it so that we are not so that transfers after deletion are not allowed. I'm not sure the right wording, but we can make sure it's after the registrar has already taken the action to put it into the RGP. So I don't think that's an issue. But your caution is well taken, and we should make sure the wording doesn't open up another problem. I think we are done on this list, not having anything past 65. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. I just want to note I posted somewhere up ahead in the chat some information in relation to the RGP. There was actually a technical steering group that was convened that wrote an implementation plan of the RGP, which was then authorized by the board for voluntary amendments to registry agreements. I don't know if you want to have a look at that now. I can pull that document up, or if it's something to just send to the list so people can have a look at that and maybe that's something that the working group wants to refer to in relation to the RGP recommendation.
So you're implying that when registries have requested to offer the service, they have simply made reference to a standardized document, not come up with their own details?
This is Marika. I don't know how much room has been in there. It seems that there were specific amendments, but I don't know how much room for... You know, leeway. I know, because I think one of the differences, for example, is on the when people are billed and things. I think there are different but I don't know if that goes to the miniature details,
right.
And those are actually not outlined in that implementation node. So I don't know exactly how the implementation node maps to the current implementation, and there I really would need to ask someone that's very familiar with all the registry agreements.
All right. Perhaps one or two of us guinea pigs and all volunteers to do it also will look at that document and then make a decision whether we need more help from staff or we can come up with some recommendation that we feel comfortable with. If anyone else wants to take a look at it also, just so it's not just me, I'd appreciate that. Okay, I think we're done at this part at this point. Marika, could you put up the document that I sent out earlier on the rewording of 7 and 8? As I was going over 7 and 8, I realized before we sent it out that it was, as they evolved, they were two separate things and they sort of merged into one, and both of them ended up with references to who creates the content and what registrars are allowed to do or required to do with it. And in retrospect, it seemed to make more sense to separate the two functions. And I've tried to do that. I don't believe I have changed the intent of any of it, and I have tried to incorporate the responses to our comments in the bullets under number 8. But if maybe people take a moment to read it, and are there any comments or thoughts of, is this a good enough draft, or do we need to discuss it at this point? Okay, James.
Yeah, James speaking. I think we're on the right track here. I just want to noodle on this one for a little bit longer.
I just sent it out half an hour ago.
I haven't got into it yet.
The only thing that jumps out at me, and I'll just give you a preview of any possible comments. The only thing that jumps out at me is, registrar must point to the ICANN material in its communication sent to the registrar immediately following initial registration of the mandated annual WHOIS reminder. This is the last bullet point under 8. Of course, it's the word must that jumps out at me at that sentence.
For the first half of the sentence, I think you're the one who suggested it.
Yeah? No.
The second half came out of a comment.
It's possible, but it doesn't look like me. It doesn't sound like me.
Yours was the WHOIS reminder.
Yeah.
The renewal notice was out of the comments. Sorry, I had them backwards.
Right, because that makes sense, and that is something that does sound like something I would hook up. the first bit, because we do, and a lot of folks, I think, do, congratulations on you, the owner of a brand new shiny domain name. Here's how, you can get started, and here's all these really other cool products that we offer that can help you get going. But I'm just trying to think if someone didn't send a confirmation email or an order, or it could be paper, I suppose, mail.
We carefully use the word communication or something. I'm not sure.
Let me just noodle on that one a little bit longer.
Okay.
I'll put my hand down.
Anyone else, anything stick out like a sore thumb? McKaylee.
Yeah, I thought I'd take over from James. I just put it on the chat there. There's, in the first bit there, it's about instructions. I prefer to use the term guidelines. Instructions suggest something very specific, and as each and every registrar will probably be implementing things in different ways, guidelines will probably work better.
I agreed with that change in the chat.
The other thing is...
You're talking about here, and in there was an earlier one somewhere else where we talk about instructions also on the web intercept page.
Alan, I'm only dealing with the document
Evan.
In front of me now.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay, so you're just talking about this one.
Yeah,
Okay.
The other thing as well is, Recommendation 8. Registrar must point to the ICANN material in a communication sent to the registrant immediately following initial registration, as well as in the mandated annual who is reminder. Okay. In the mandated annual who is reminder, that's fine, because that's definitely getting sent. Are you saying here that the registrar must send a communication to the registrant immediately following the initial registration?
I think that's what we originally said in our recommendation. I don't think I was inventing anything here. That doesn't say it's right, but I believe those were the words that we had. Once developed, registrars are expected to link to or host that information on its website, I'm reading the original, and send to the registrant in a communication immediately following initial registration, as well as the mandated who is. So that is in our current recommendation 8.
Oh.
And we originally had message, and that got suggested. It was suggested that be changed to communication, because we were being flexible as to how the communication would happen. Okay, let's think on this one and come back on it. My intent was not to change anything, but just to reword it and rejuggle the thoughts, and I think that's what I did. But I may have erred in that, or we may want to rethink the whole thing. I'm reluctant to rethink things that were not criticized in comments, because that almost says we're going to implement a policy which is not as we described in our preliminary paper. And I'm a little bit reluctant to invent things completely at that point. All right. We'll assume this one gets done, but clearly we're going to have to. Everyone's going to have to be happy with the wording. It strikes me there was one other item which I mentioned on email quite a long time ago, and I think James supported it. I think it was James, and that is it's the standard practice these days on PDPs to include a requirement to review. Status, are things working, and for counsel to receive reports on a regular basis. And to do that, I think compliance would have to change the wording of their complaint forms and such to, you know, make it more obvious what we're talking about. Maybe there's a requirement for some additional reporting also, although I don't think I suggested that at that point. And I would think we should add an extra requirement saying, an extra recommendation saying that, this policy should be subject to the kind of review that we've done on domain tasting, for instance, but I think is becoming standard practice. Any thoughts on that? No, I haven't attempted to draft anything yet, but is there a general belief that's something we should be doing? Responding to the huge exclamation of one tick mark, I'll assume we should get it. Anyone want to volunteer it, or are Marika and I being volunteered to draft something? Marika?
It doesn't work out. We actually drafted some similar language for the IRGP report earlier today, and what we tried to do there is actually call out in that review, specific items that we would like to see included in that review. So I think this is maybe a call to everyone. If there are any items where you think that, you want to see how that works over time, or any issues that we maybe discussed but, didn't go further into, but you think, should be considered as part of a review, I think it might be helpful if people have specific items that they think should be included, that they should send their suggestions to the list, and we can include them as part of that recommendation to review on a regular basis.
Yeah. One of the things that came to me as I was talking, and I hadn't thought of it before, is are there items that we should be wanting to include in registrar reports that are not there, obviously not ones that are going to give competitive advantage and such to people in knowing, but are there additional things that we need reported to be able to do that assessment, or are we going to rely purely on the ICANN compliance complaints? Again, I'm not sure we can address that today, but if anyone has any thoughts, either what we should be looking at or should we shouldn't be looking at anything more, then if you can put it on the list. All right. We have a half hour to go. The only item I believe we have not covered on our agenda is a discussion on the major item that we have. Cheryl?
I said days.
Oh. I was going to say it's the major item on our list that we haven't discussed yet, and that's the request of a number of comments that the 8 days should be increased to something. Although I think the ALAC one and by tacit agreement the business one was don't increase necessarily increase the 8 days, but increase the overall guaranteed period. James.
Hi. So I missed last week, and I apologize for that. You know, one of the things we were I was trying to lay some groundwork earlier on in the, in our discussions when we first started cracking open the public comments is that we should probably decide whether my hand has been lowered by the host. Okay, I don't know what that means.
He's trying to shut you up.
I guess so. That's fine. So I just wanted to say, I wanted to propose an idea that rather than, I wanted to say, can we step back from these comments for just a moment and say, are there any, for example, that are asking for less time? Are there any asking for more time? Are there any asking for the same amount of time just at a different position so that we nail it down as opposed to having it floating within that 45-day period? Those people who are asking for more time, are they offering something new that we've overlooked or didn't consider when we came up with this 8 days? I'm just saying we've got a delicate gossamer compromise here that I know that took us a number of calls and a long number of weeks going through and, you know, some meetings in Cartagena and some data that might get me still fired yet to this day that was out there. And all these things, and I just would hate for a single comment to come in and start swinging around with a tennis racket at something that, you know, we really, I'm just trying to say this as gently as possible. I mean, can we make sure that there is a really compelling and good reason why we would reopen this discussion? And I'm open to the idea that there's one out there. I just haven't seen it yet. Thanks.
Yeah, one of the things you did miss in the meeting last week is I did ask that the representatives of the group who requested longer time come prepared to talk about why and the motivation for it. And that was driven by your original comment that there be some rationale, not just I want it because I want it. In terms of the other issues you raised of the when the period happens and we have it as a floating one, there were one or two recommendations that suggested that it be fixed or for the full period or whatever, and I think we've already addressed that, I think, last week, in that basically we're saying we ended up with the floating one for some strong reasons, and we don't, although we understand it's more difficult to explain, we think it's important in terms of registrars being able to have different business models and provide business continuity. So I think we already put those to sleep, and the only one left is the longer period of time. Does anyone want to speak to the longer period of time?
Hi, Alan. This is Perry.
Sure.
So, you know, I alluded to this in the past, I'm not necessarily speaking for the BC at this moment, but it's a pretty good indication. The BC in its comments did submit that they would like a longer period to recover the domain. However, at this point, we're not going to push it. I wouldn't call the word satisfied with the duration that that consensus has seemed to be showing right now, so we're willing to take what we can get and move forward, and really kind of in the nature of what James was mentioning. So that's kind of where we stand, and I asked Mikey if I misstated any of that to kind of either restate it or back it up or whatever. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Barry. Cheryl?
It's more just a matter of making sure what I've said in previous conversations is at least, you know, vaguely on the record again now. And that is the advantage of something like 10 days is that when we have a world that has at least 24 hours in different hemispheres on a different day anyway, that, you know, you're looking at well in excess of a normal working week. But again, I'm just making the point because I made the point before. Thank you.
Sorry, this is Barry again. I'm mobile. Just to add on to what Cheryl was stating, the BC's motivation behind it is we still feel overall our reasoning for our that ask of a 30-day period is, in general, we believe registrants, if they are not aware that their domain is going to expire, there's a good many of them that are just kind of clueless, but mostly the motivation behind it is strictly about time away and the duration that can happen. A lot of people go on vacation for 3 weeks, and certainly the 8 days, while greater than 1 week, is better than what we had. You know, we really, that's the main reason we were pushing for the 30 days, just more practicality's sake. But like I said, we'll stick with what seems to be on the table for now. Thank you.
James.
Yeah, Alan, I'll do something a little differently here, and I'm going to speak both in favor and against the 8 days. You know, I think that there are a lot of registrars who are already doing more and would like to see more done in this area. There are a lot of registrars that we've heard from. I don't know that there are any participating on this group, but they certainly aren't shy about raising this in side conversation, that offer none and think that that's perfectly appropriate. And I guess, you know, when I say we're on a very thin and delicate compromise here, I'm also talking about within our own stakeholder group over here on the registrar side of the house, fence, yard, whatever. You know, I'm not happy with it either, Barry, but I think when we're talking about guarantees, you know, I can, guess I can live with the idea that a guarantee would be something less than ideal, and then that gives, you know, my company an opportunity to differentiate itself by offering more. And I think that's kind of ultimately why I feel like we should go with this, as opposed to trying to hold the line for more and losing what we got. So I guess I'm kind of coming down the same area where the BC and Cheryl are coming. Thanks.
Okay. I've got one thought, but anyone else want to speak up before I take the microphone? Mike, or Ron, rather.
Yes, this is Ron Wilkerson. Yeah, one issue that I think isn't captured in our discussion that many of the comments have is the aspect that concerns uniformity. I know we discussed this at length, and it's clear that there is not a perspective of the majority of the group to have identical policies. Yet it's confusing on the face of it why there is an expectation of uniformity. When I register a domain name, pay the fee, I get it for a year. So since that is uniform and imposed by consensus and registration agreements, there is a spirit that comes in some of the comments that isolating them out individually doesn't have. That is, why is it competitive what to do at 30 or 40 days after expiration? Why is that competitive versus the year while the domain is registered? And would it not, from the point of view of education, having the very big differences from one to another makes it very, very difficult to ever educate the common domain registrant how to handle it, especially since these policies are subject to change and simply having a registration agreement that says check back periodically to see if I've changed the agreement you're operating under is an unnecessary burden. So I think we failed to capture that feeling that comes in some of the recommendations, but I have no solution because there is such opposition to having uniformity during expiration. So I think that just comes as a comment rather than a recommendation.
Yeah, I'll make a quick comment on the comment and then go to James. You said that the 1 year is standard, but in fact it's convention. A registrar is allowed to offer domain registrations for less than a year. They can't get it for less than a year from the registry, but they can offer whatever terms they want to the registrar, and I believe, in fact, some do that. So I'm not sure there's uniformity there either. James, you want to get in before I do? Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I had to explain a punchline.
No, you didn't, but thanks.
Cheryl's comment was complicated, though.
Yes, he is. I'm still unpacking that.
There's some typos in there, I think, but I'm not sure. Maybe not. Maybe those are terms of art.
So just, I mean, I guess it's not really a response or a comment. It's just more just a continuation of, I think, Ron's train of thought, which is that, you know, this is the reason why we don't have one registrar anymore or one registry. There is uniformity, and there are areas where we've determined that that's beneficial. And then there's areas where we have allowed people, you know, a competitive marketplace to differentiate. And I'm a strong believer that that's the reason why, and no offense to my friend Paul, that's the reason why things are so much better now, despite all of our problems, why we have so much growth, innovation, lower prices, and amazing services that we had when it was just the Network Solutions Show back in the 90s. Because, you know, all of these competitive elements have sprung up. And I think that it might be very tempting now to look at a problem in terms of in the context of consensus policy and say, well, we need to put this part of the genie back into the bottle. Now we've gotten all this great stuff out of this marketplace. I don't have to send a fax into and a check and then wait 3 weeks to get my domain name. You know, the stuff is happening fast and cool and cheap, but I'm scared of it now. I want it to go back into the bottle. And I think that in many respects, I think that we've already turned the corner on that. We are probably on our worst day in our current environment, still better off than our best day under the previous arrangement. And I think that we should always continue to look for ways to do better, but always recognize that there's going to be differences. And that differences mean choice. So, thanks.
Thank you, James. Anyone else? All right, I'll do a little bit of my pitch. I think the reality is there's no way we're going to come to consensus in this group that we should set the minimum guaranteed time at 40 days or something like that. It's just not going to happen. And therefore, I don't think consistency is something that we're going to be able to achieve no matter what number we arbitrarily assign, whether it's 8, 5, 40, you know, 43, or either 22 or whatever. So I think we're going to have to live with that part. I have a question for, you know, James and Paul and Michele, and if you get the answer wrong, you owe me a beer somewhere. Is your expectation that major registrars are likely to take this consensus policy as we're recommending it and say, okay, we used to give 40 days like Two Cows or 30-something days like GoDaddy, but we're lowering it to 8. Is there any real expectation that that's going to happen? And
nope.
By forcing the 8-day consensus policy, we're going to end up, forgive the language, screwing the registrants?
Nope, I don't think so. I mean, this is James. I don't see us making any changes.
Okay.
We're already seeing that.
And I don't see Two Cows backing down on their 40 days, certainly not because of this policy. They may change their policies. but I can't see this triggering it. So, you know, I'm not as worried as some are that saying we want 30. I went into this whole process saying our target was 30, but realistically we were never going to come out with 30. And therefore, some level of uniformity at that level, I think, is impractical.
Yes.
So, I think part of the answer on this one is the discussion we had just prior to this one, that is trying to come up with some level of measuring, and you know, assuming we put through the policy as recommended, it gets implemented, are we going to have a mechanism of recognizing that there is still a problem? That, oh my God, it shouldn't have been 8, it should have been 15 to address the, you know, the 3 week, the 2 week vacation, or it should have been 15 business days to address the 3 week vacation. Are we going to have a way of recognizing that we still have a problem? I mean, the problem is never going to be substantial compared to the overall number of registrations, but will we be able to recognize it? Olivier.
Thanks, Alan. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc for the record. I've heard the different arguments, and I can understand, can as in C-A-N, understand the idea that, of course, it would be it's a competition issue, and some registrars would like to give more time and some would like to give less time. Cheryl mentioned a bit earlier the idea of having 10 rather than 8, and I just wonder, you know, the grave concern that we have is definitely people going on holiday, people not checking their emails daily, users that will be caught out by these 8 days because they spend some time away and they come back and they come back to their domain not being with them anymore. And so I understand that if we're going to push for 30 days, yeah, that's certainly going to curb some of your competitive advantages, because those ones who are currently practicing this will lose their advantage as far as this is concerned. But 10 rather than 8. I just wonder why. And why 2 more days? Because in general, people go on holiday in batches of 7. So they usually go 1 week at a time, and some are lucky enough to go for 2 weeks without checking their emails. But the smallest amount is usually 1. And what happens is by the time they go back, the first day they have to deal with all sorts of other, let me use that word, crap at the office. And after that, they'll start dealing with the rest of stuff. I guess that losing their domain name might be part of the crap on the first day as well, but still. Thank you.
And we have a long speaker list. Michele.
I've said this before. I say it again. I'm getting tired of having to say this because I'm beginning to sound like a broken record. Olivier, no, with all due respect, what the hell? The thing is here is that we've gone through this rather long, incredibly tortuous working group where we have discussed ad infinitum every single possible edge case imaginable, plus some that probably aren't imaginable. The key thing is this: if coming out of it there is a guarantee of several things. That registrants are given notifications before expiry.
Yep.
The domain is going to be held by the registrar and guaranteed, and this is the key thing here, for the 8 days, which we can support. I really cannot see how, you know, this fixation with people's holidays and everything else. You're trying to say to me that people are going to ignore all the notifications before they go on holidays, and then suddenly when they come back, they're going to start paying attention to them. Anyway, no, I really don't think that this is going to make any difference. We seem to have a degree of consensus on this 8 days, and we have discussed this at length, and I'm perfectly happy with the 8 days for the purposes of this, but if we start moving into the entire thing about people on holidays and everything else, we're going back about, oh, I don't know, 6 months.
Yeah, I'll interject for a moment. Avery made a comment on the chat that I think is worth addresses to some extent, Michaela, your question of why are we talking about this again. We do have a comment period. We are obliged to talk about it again since it was raised in the comments, and that's what we're doing. What the outcome is, we'll see. But I think we do have an obligation to reconsider it because of the comments were raised. James?
Yes, thanks, Alan. James speaking. I think that where we came up with, you know, the reason I like this, I don't like it, but the reason I thought this was good for a minimum guarantee was because it was a week and a day. So we covered everybody's possible holidays, we covered vacations, we covered, you know, banking, whatever things that they do when, I don't know, the Queen does something in England and they have to close the bank or something until her flowers are back in the vase, or I don't know how the thing works. I guess what I'm saying is I think we've got as the shortest possible time frame for those people who wanted zero, and yet the longest useful time frame for those of us who wanted more. So my point is that while I think it's easy now to say, well, why not just 2 more days? Why 10 and not 8? Well, I guess my answer is why 8 and not 0? Because that's where we're headed back to, you know. I think if we start extending this or if we start tweaking this, I can't caution enough how difficult it was to get registrars to this point. And I guess, you know, I can't extend enough how much the registrars who participate on this group have maybe burned some internal political capital to get us to this point. And, you know, I would like to see all three registrar reps vote as a block and not, you know, split up and over something like this. So I just want to just make sure we're looking at a guarantee where there was none, as opposed to the length or the utility of that guarantee. Because certainly ICANN will presumably still be here a year or two or three or five from now, and we can come back and we can say, yep, this is too short, we need to extend it. And we'll have, you know, the son of Pedner as a sequel somewhere out there in the future.
Heaven help us.
Yeah, I won't be around for that, just for notice on that.
I will note there are some people who say ICANN won't be around in a few years, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, the key is just let's focus on we have a guarantee where none existed in the first place. It is sufficiently short that it doesn't mess up the aftermarket and those people who are, businesses and individuals who are very active in that, but it's sufficiently long enough to provide protections where none existed before, and I think that that's something we can all begrudgingly hang our hats on and say we did something good. Thanks.
Sorry, I'm just trying to read Michaela's response. Touche, or Michaela. I wish I had staff I could do that for. Does anyone have any interest in pursuing this? To be honest, I think the only possible outcome other than the status quo, that is leaving what we have, would be 8 days instead of 10, perhaps because that was in the original proposal that James made when we started this, you know, the second phase of these discussions. I understand the difficulty the registrars are going to face if they have to go back and push for those extra 2 days. And it's in my mind, it does get you past Olivier's comment of you don't have to deal with the problem on your first day back after 1 week. It doesn't address the 2 weeks. And I'm not sure it's going to make that much difference in how people are going to be able to deal with it. As long as we can make sure that we have sufficient reporting out of this that we can understand if things are working well or not. But is there anyone with a stomach for trying to push the 8 to 10? I know we're not going to get anywhere above that. Mikey's saying this is one that everyone hates, therefore it's as good a compromise as we're going to get. I think we could all arrive at numbers that we all hate that are different from 8, but I'm not sure there's going to be a lot gained in trying to get to there. McHaley.
He's got his hand up.
Yeah, I know. I just called him.
I think Mikey sums it up very nicely. Classic negotiation, we all hate it about equally. And to be perfectly honest, as you said, Alan, for us as registrars, to go back to the other registrars and try to get them to come to not violently disagree with anything beyond eight, I personally would see great difficulty with this. With the 8 days, it's a hell of a lot better than nothing. That's just my own personal view.
We're all working on the assumption that assuming we can agree here, when it gets to council, registrars will support this motion. But I'm not going to pointedly ask the question. I'm working on that assumption. Paul.
Thanks, Alan. It's Paul. Yeah, you've actually took the words out of my mouth, and I just want to underscore where we are now. We've made the point in comments to, or in responses to public comments. This was considered a package deal. All of these points are interwoven, interconnected, and were jointly negotiated. And I think to try and make this change right now is fundamentally could upset the support that currently exists for the recommendations as a package. And I'd be very afraid of what may happen at the council level if we start monkeying around at the very end.
Carol?
Thank you, Alan. Cheryl Langdonor for the record. Paul, I think what you just said could be our response to the commenter. Perhaps without the monkeying around part at the end.
I sort of like that part.
The response to the commenter.
I think we have reached consensus, people. Anyone want to keep talking?
Okay, James wants to keep the monkeying around in the formal response. Okay, James, fine.
Does anyone feel that we have not reached consensus on this item? Didn't say everyone's happy. It said reached consensus. I see no objections to this. Marika, what else do we have to do? Are there still other items in other recommendations that we said we had to go back to and clean up or add something? There was one on the exceptions to the two notices and the timing of the two notices that we had exceptions at our meeting last week. James, you weren't here. The recommendation supported by all the registrars on the call was that we remove the exceptions clause and simply say you must have two notices, 1 cent 30 days plus and minus, and 1 cent 7 days plus and minus. I have a gut feeling there are registrars who are going to object to that, but yes, James, we did discuss it when you weren't here. So there was a uniform feeling that we should just delete the exceptions and not try to define the exception process and allow exceptions. I personally think that's a mistake, but I'm willing to go along with the group. Marika.
That doesn't work out. I'm happy to go through the report and you know, based on what we discussed as well as part of the comments where we agreed to make changes to make those and hopefully have done a final report for review ahead of next week's call. And in that, I'll try as well to indicate if there are any areas where indeed we still have either bracketed language or items where we need some further discussions. I'll try to highlight those as well then.
Yeah, I would hesitate and say not the final report, but the recommendation section. I know I'm still working on a review of the report, and I've got lots and lots of small comments that I think anyone else who wants to do that kind of review should be given the opportunity. But I did make a suggestion that we reorganize the recommendations to group together logically, sort of as they were in the PowerPoint presentation, in that it's far more important that people understand them than it is to be able to relate them to the charter questions. So we can certainly parenthetically in each one say what charter question it addresses, but I would tend to prefer them organized so they make sense as a group. If anyone doesn't, if there's no objection to that, I would like to see us go ahead with that.
So just to clarify, you prefer me just to look at the recommendations chapter for now and wait for your comments on the other parts before looking
well,
at the other section?
Well, I will guarantee to have it before, you know, assuming I don't die first, have it before next week, but how much before next week, I'm not sure. And I think we need, you know, I don't know if any, is anyone else been planning to do a run-through of the report itself? Or is everyone else sick of it? I'll take no comments of being sick of it. Michele.
Sorry, I managed to mute myself and lost the keypad on my iPhone. Do you want somebody to go on the record as saying that we're sick of it?
No. I took no hands, no volunteers of being sick of it. I just feel strongly about it because I've read through the report and some of it just doesn't read very well. And so I'd like to get those parts cleaned up. But that's a personal, you know, anal retentiveness of me and not necessarily something I'm forcing on the group. Marika says she's disconnected, but we'll be back in 30 seconds.
Last comment, Alan.
Sorry?
I was a bit concerned after your last comment.
Which last comment? Sorry.
The one if you were still alive?
Ah. I'm not planning to die, but I am adding that proviso.
Yeah, so I think it would be best for all parties concerned, because I'm not too sure how the GNSO recommendations handle the expiration of a working group chair.
I think we should need some policy on it.
I think there has to be consistency.
All working group chairs have to expire at the same time?
Yeah. Well, I think they have to give proper notice, and at least two, and probably 30 days in advance.
All right. I think
shouldn't we have competitiveness and different PDPs compete?
Uh-huh. Competitive chairs. Never happen.
May I suggest the creation of a new cross-consensus working group to discuss this?
I would point out that if there was competition for the working group chair, I wouldn't be the chair.
You're not the chair. You're the acting chair.
I'm actually not the chair. I'm the acting chair because the council never appointed a chair.
Right.
I think now that we're over, I think we're almost over, I'll point that out to them. All right. I think we're as done as we're going to be today. We're actually over time. I normally like to give people back 5 minutes. So thank you all. We'll continue next week. Marika will have a full review of all the recommendations as she feels. You're going to try to reword the recommendations based on all of our comments, right? Is that correct, Marika?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So let's go with that. We'll do a careful – if people can try to have read them so we don't have to read them all out loud, and assuming that coming out of that meeting – we either will have wordsmithed everything or at least identified the issues we have to go back on. Cheryl.
Only that, Alan, you mentioned there was a couple of bits and bobs in the report which you felt didn't read well. Perhaps if you were to share the aspects of your pedantry with us on list in advance of the meeting, we could agree on whether the toilet was indeed required or not.
I will indeed do it before the meeting, but I just said I'm not sure how soon before the meeting. It may not get done till next weekend is what I'm saying.
But that's okay. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, I'm happy to look at, you know.
Yeah, in general, I'm making recommendations, not just making vague comments.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye, all.
I thank you all. We're getting
Thanks,
close.
Thanks, Alan.
And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, Alan. Thanks, all.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much, Sandy. That's all